Lafondre looking to get Consider Font. Lafondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello and welcome to the Elm Park Rolls preview podcast for the Port Vale match. I mean, you would think a match coming up on Saturday would be the biggest news. You would think that would be perfectly normal for any football club. But no, this is Reading Football Club, and we've managed to find a way of upstaging the match by completely contradicting what we've put out in a meeting that Sell Before We Die had with them only a few weeks before Christmas. It's just incredible. But to go into more detail about this, I've been joined by James Earnshaw. How are you doing? From the Reading Chronicle.
Yeah, good, thanks, Paul. But a bit of a busy afternoon, thanks to yourselves and Sell Before We Die and whoever else. But, you know, good to be busy.
It's good to be busy, James, but is it good to be busy in this kind of way with Reading FC? It really isn't, is it? No.
No, I'd rather have had a quieter afternoon, but, you know, these things are big. And, yeah, you guys have... I should start calling you guys Haagen-Dazs if this all turns out to be true, because you've got the biggest scoop of the season.
Well, I give that to Sell Before We Die. I give it to them. Those are the ones you've got the scoops. So, yeah, big up to the scoopies. And what I've got to say is, let's go into more detail about what happened in the notes. In the notes, the main key points were that actually Dai Yong Pang sat there and basically lied his ass off and said, oh, yeah, we're not going to send any players. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. Well, there's lots of allegations coming from inside the club, isn't there, that have been released by Sell Before We Die today, James. And they're not quite in line with what he's been saying. In fact, they're a million miles away from that, aren't they?
No, not quite in line. I mean, I must admit the notes are in line with what I've always been told, both, you know, sort of on record and off record. I've always been led to believe that the club won't be making any sales unless the deal is good, you know, and it's too good an offer to turn down. Obviously, Sell Before We Die, I've had other information, and, you know, I'll continue to follow up and do what I can to get to the bottom of it. But there's someone in the club who seems to think that they... know what's going on, and there's not many that do. So if they are, you know, truthful and they are, being told the right things, then it could be a worrying time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, obviously the most worrying statement, as bad as selling players in January would be, is actually the fact that Dai Young has no interest in selling the club. Basically, he just wants to asset strip it because he needs to sell off a debt. And these are all allegations, I must add. This hasn't actually happened. Don't suddenly try and refresh your Twitter and find out we've actually been liquidated, because that hasn't happened yet. So don't worry about that. But James, I mean, as much as we sit here and we're like slightly surprised by this, are we actually shocked if any of this really happened? Because, you know, the way that it's been going, the history of Dai Young at his previous two clubs, there's nothing there that says to you, wow, this is a surprise. But, you know, I just find it so... it's just depressing seeing it all come out so slowly, and the arduous task of supporting Reading FC just gets worse every single week, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's actually going exactly the same way that he's gone in the past. So you can't say he's not consistent at the very least. The sale has you know, obviously stalled with Ginevra. And I believe they've walked away now. So we're further away in terms of a takeover than we were 2 months ago, which is a difficult thing to take, a bit of a kick in the teeth. We're now at a stage where if we can even go into next season with a new owner, then I think we'd have done well with the rate of which it's currently all moving. But, you know, I think deep down there's always a small part of us that kind of thought this could be the way it panned out, the way it had panned out. When he's been in this situation with the other two, we'd hoped, obviously, with us being a bigger club and sort of being an English football, that it wouldn't be allowed to get to this stage. But it seems like it's sort of still remaining on that path. And it's just sad for, obviously, the supporters and the staff and the players who are, you know, having to battle on in what is no doubt a toxic, horrible environment to have to go to work in. And that's the ones that have even got jobs after the last few weeks, where people haven't got jobs anymore. Yeah, horrible, horrible situation. And, you know, the worst part is that there's nothing we can really do to stop it.
No, I don't think there is, to be honest. I wish there was. I do think people should keep protesting because keeping awareness of the situation is vital. You can't just stop doing stuff, but you do wonder what's the point of it. I mean, you know, this is just me being honest here. I don't want to be negative and I don't want to be like, you know, tell people not to do anything because clearly I think people should be doing something. But if the person you're actually trying to affect has absolutely no interest and actually just wants to asset strip you, I don't know what you do. I honestly, I'm struggling to think of an angle to go at Dae Young now. It's not because I don't care, because obviously both of us care, but lots of everyone listening to this probably cares a lot. But what do we do? You're lost. We're in this kind of no man's land now, aren't we? Of kind of, with most clubs, if you make a protest to an owner, after a period of time, it starts to have an impact and stuff happens and the club gets sold. It might not be to some, you know, ideal person, but for us, it's just getting worse. And we can see what's coming, unfortunately. That's the problem.
Yeah, well, we've been at it for 5 months now and we haven't had a budge, have we? So, you know, we've had millions of people watching on ITV. Everybody and their dog knows about the situation at Reading. It's probably the most publicity the club have had in years, and they've been in the Premier League for 3 seasons. But as you say, you know, the man doesn't care. And ultimately, to a multi-billionaire however many times over, what difference is it going to make that Reading goes under? It was always, you know, the back of your mind, the fear with someone who's done it twice before, and you always presumed that it wouldn't be the same with Reading. And, you know, there's still time. It might not be the same at Reading. You know, obviously that's what we want. But with the news, you know, with the information and the evidence we've got laid out in front of us, then, you know, the truth is quite stark. And there looks to be, you know, one major outcome, which is the one that we've all been trying to avoid. But, you know, we've all got to stick together. I think that's the main thing. The community, the fans, everyone connected with the club, the staff, the players. And we've got to do what we can do. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens. But you can sit, you can look at yourself in the mirror in 5-6 years' time and say, well, we did all we could do. And I'm afraid that's probably about as much as we can do.
Yeah, that is basically it, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, you just look at the other things that are in the statement about the removal of Category 1 and have no academy. I'll be frank, if it means that we have no academy, but we have a club, I know what I'm taking. You know, it sounds really sad that, and I know lots of people won't like that, but you've got to make the choice, haven't you? And, you know, if players do leave, if key players are going to leave, because obviously no one's going to want the shit players that we've got, if players like Smith and Wing leave, it's going to be League Two, isn't it? You know, I want to be optimistic, but, you know, there's a reason why we've improved since Smith and Wing have really come back and been fit. It's because they are absolutely vital. And if either of them go, I think we're done for the season and we will be in League Two. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. This is a very depressing start to the podcast. I'm sorry about that. But it's reality, unfortunately, with Reading at the moment. It's just endless. It really is. But
I take League Two. League Two over Isthmian League Two is an improvement. Ultimately, the academy is an added bonus, and it's a nice thing to do. And it's obviously been such a big part of our history. But if it's a choice between an academy and no football club, then what's the point of having an academy if you've got no football club? You look at teams like Huddersfield and Brentford; they don't have academies. They have, you know, well, they have B teams, but for a long time before that, they had nothing. You know, so there is life without an academy. Obviously, we don't want that, and that's obviously a worst case scenario. And there's been nothing, you know, official or confirmed or anything to suggest that that's on the cards. But, you know, we've got to face the facts that this is, if, you know, to recover, this is going to be a long, long, long time coming. I don't, you know, we're going to be a lower league team for quite a while now. But, you know, having a lower league team to support is better than having no team to support at all. So I guess people have just got to get their expectations in check and stick to reality. But, yeah, it's very hard to focus on the games now, to be honest, no matter who we're playing on Saturday or Tuesday, because there's more important things at hand. And I was asked to write some bits for the opposition for Port Vale and to sum up the season. And I basically just said, you know, it doesn't really matter. You know, this season's been a write-off basically from day one, as long as, you know, we win the fight off the field and, you know, get someone who actually wants to run the football club in charge, then the rest of it's all quite trivial, really, because win, lose or draw, the fate isn't really in our hands or the players' hands.
Yeah, nailed it, James. Yeah, definitely. It is basically, that is the case, isn't it? If you offered us, all of us, a League Two club or no club, which you're going to go for? It's obvious, isn't it? So, yeah, let's briefly move on to the game, which ultimately is going to become, it's in the shadows now, isn't it? Game on Saturday against Port Vale. Give us your prediction, James, because I think there's going to be a lot of goals. I think there's going to be a lot of protest. You don't have to be a genius to work that one out, do you? So I'm going to go 3-2 to Reading, because this is the kind of weird shit that we do. It really is.
I'm going to go 1-0 defeat. I just think with all the doom and gloom and everything, I think it'll just pile on. But, you know, some people, you know, some anarchists who would quite like to see some action, you know, nothing would stir up more fan action than a last-minute 1-0 defeat to Port Vale, would it? So, you know, some people would actually probably take that result and see what follows. But, no, obviously we want Reading to win. You know, they're no mugs. They're comfortably sat in mid-table. But, you know, I think tomorrow is going to be a real big test just to see how sort of how easy or how hard the players have found it to keep their minds on the game, which, you know, you couldn't blame them if they didn't, if they let their minds wander. We're good enough to win the game tomorrow. That's tomorrow, Saturday. We could win Saturday. We probably should win Saturday, but see how it goes. But yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 defeat just to balance your positivity with my negativity.
Oh, dear. Yes, just what I needed there. So hopefully we've got Smith, Nibs and Yidam all back for that game, but who knows what state they'll be in. I don't know. I'm at the point where I just don't know what's going to happen this. They might end up actually, you know, all these years I've said that I don't care if Kingsley actually scores a winning goal. He might actually get on the pitch. Who knows? They might just register him. So thanks for a lot for listening to this part. It has not been upbeat, but sorry, that's just the way it is right now. Next up is Matt talking to the Port Vale podcast. Thanks a lot.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Royals preview podcast, of course, brought to you by Phantom Brew Co. It's now time to flip onto the view from the opposition. We're going to be having a look at Port Vale ahead of the clash this weekend. And to do so, we are welcoming back Johnny from the Ale and Vale podcast. How are you doing, Johnny?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Matt. How are you doing?
Good. Yes, not too bad. Good Christmas period and everything. So looking forward to hopefully a more prosperous 2024. But that's hope and Reading is a very bad combination, seemingly. So yeah, we'll jump back anyway to the start of the season. Obviously, we played you second game of the season. It was right after a 7-0 kind of tonking at Barnsley. It was probably it. Well, it was harsh on Port Vale, that 7-0 from Barnsley. But we faced you back in August, 12th of August. And I think a lot of Reading fans were just, well, it was a dreadful loss for Reading. It was dreadful performance by the team, by Andy Carroll. And it was probably a performance that ended Andy Carroll's Reading career, ironically, by a certain Nathan Smith at centre-back. But what do you remember of that game? Because that must have been a fun game to have been a Port Vale supporter.
Yeah, it was an interesting one, because obviously we didn't really know what you were going to be like, just coming down, having the financial troubles and everything, but also going and spending quite a bit of money on players as well at the same point. So it was quite strange. You'd hired a manager that had obviously managed in the Premier League the season before, and so it was like we thought you were going to have a big go at it. And then we spoke obviously about Andy Carroll and what he kind of brings to the table, sort of thing, and I thought he was going to be a real big player for you, but he got sucked right into Nathan's spell.
As warned,
that's Nate Wheelhouse. As I said previously, If you're going to come up and want a little scrap with him, he's going to love that every day of the week. He'll pinch you, he'll pull you, he'll be horrible, as you saw. And then they both got into a bit of a scrap, and Carroll was probably lucky not to get sent off in the end. I think the manager did the right thing by hauling him off, because it was very close to being a red card in the second half, and I think that's why that's why he was dragged off pretty much straight after. Because I think we just had a quick chat beforehand, but Carroll kept going back for it, and Smith's this weird character that will get slapped, elbowed, and pulled and pushed at all day long, and never react. So, that was interesting, and I think the game itself was quite an even game. Our stall at that point was, let's go and pinch something, because we were just too tonking, and then we beat Fleetwood in the cup, and that was 3-2, and that was a bit chaotic as well. So I think we wanted just calm it all down, but we had quite a lot of shots, but not much of the ball that day.
Mm-hmm. Well, that win, you obviously went on to win 1-0, about 77th minute or so winner, I think, for you guys. That really kicked off actually quite a fantastic start to the season for you guys. You went on a run, I think it was 6 unbeaten after that game, 5 wins, 1 draw. You got to Northampton at home, on the 16th of September, and you sat second in the table at that point behind as well, probably surprised table toppers at that point as well, in Exeter. How did that start the season kind of come about for you guys? Because it was probably a surprise to quite a few in League One, obviously seeing Exeter and you guys up there. But, you know, the wins you had, win away at Oxford was probably the highlight of that run. I mean, tell us a bit about it and kind of how it went.
Yeah, it basically, that's the 7-0, everyone was talking about it. So every opposition fan that you're coming up, every opposition papers was talking, oh, the team that lost 7-0 first game of the season, blah, blah, blah. So I think it just gave us a bit of a kick. There was a lot of managers. Remember Charlton, we went, Charlton beat them 3-2, and their manager turned around and said, oh, we should be beating teams like Port Vale. So it kind of galvanised everyone that these established League One teams were talking teams like Port Vale as if they had a God-given right to come and roll over, or we should be turning up at their place and going, there you go, there's 3 points.
There's nothing worse than the teams like kind of phrase, no matter what league you're in or kind of where you are. It's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure Stevenage probably thought the same thing about teams like Maidstone at the weekend sort of thing. And it's football's funny in that. So yeah, we kind of galvanized on that run, and then the international break hit, and we kind of capitulated a bit after the international break. We seemed to lose all momentum, and things then just started going wrong, and we went on a horrendous run then. I don't think we won a league game in about 14 at that point. We conceded a couple of late equalisers. We seemed to be a cup team. We beat Sutton, Mansfield and Burton in the cup in that run, but couldn't win in the league for Toffee. Ended up then luckily beating Exeter away to stop that rot. And that was, December, I think?
Yes, yeah. December.
And that was an horrible game. That was two teams that didn't want to win the game because they didn't know how to. And yeah, then that kind of picked us up. And then we've just been very, very up and down since. We either play well and lose, or don't play very well and win games. So yeah, it's been interesting, to say the least.
Well, probably one thing that's been good, obviously, for, well, that's picked Port Vale up, I guess, a bit, is the Christmas period, because in true Vale fashion, like you say, of late, it's been very up and down. You had a last minute equaliser at Wickham away, then you probably never want to play Barnsley away with how the first 60 minutes of that game went, going 3-0 down, but, you know, coming back to 3-2, that was all right. Highlight the 3-0 against Blackpool, against a team that's flying. But then you have Carlisle, where you're winning until 80 minutes and then you lose it in, you know, the 93rd plus. But then you have Charlton, where you then win it, in the 90th minute. It's just been so up and down. Has there been any injuries or kind of tactics that's led to such an inconsistent run, I guess you'd say?
How long do we have? Because if you're asking injuries, we've got 11 players out injured in some form or another. So yeah, the big thing with Christmas is James Wilson's back fit. Willow comes on at Wickham. The first thing he does is have a shot. And I don't think we'd had a shot all game at that point. And then he goes and scores. Ben Garrity will argue that point because I'm pretty certain his header was over the line, but no one was flagging, so Willow tapped it in. But yeah, Willow comes back and we look a different team. You'll notice against Barnsley, half-time sub, James Wilson comes on, we score two goals. I think since Wilson's been back fit, we've scored 8 goals with him on the pitch, conceded 2 or 3 now. And when he's been off the pitch, we've conceded 8. So he's not a big man. He's not someone that's going to occupy, but he's got that Premier League first touch that if it wasn't for injuries, he'd definitely be playing in the Championship. I don't think he's a Premier League player, but he'd definitely be playing higher up because he's got such a good touch. It's just unfortunate there is his injuries. But yeah, then the rest of the squad, we've had a wing back broke his leg early doors, so he's been out quite a while, and Mitch Clark. His replacement dislocated his shoulder twice in 6 months, so he's just had surgery. His replacement then has had an Achilles injury, which has led to us playing 4 different right wing backs this season. On the left hand side, Conor Grant's just getting back into fitness. Our centre halves have all had an injury at some point or another, or a massive drop in form. Funzo Ojo's out injured. Ben Garrity's out injured in centre mid. Arblaster then got recalled. So yeah, we've had lots and lots of good luck in the injury front, as you can tell. So yeah, we've got quite a few injuries, and look, it's not an excuse. It's still a professional football club. They should be able to deal with that sort of thing. But yeah, it's difficult at the minute, and we're probably lucky that transfer window's open because we do need some bodies in and quickly.
With the kind of drop off since the start of the season then, and I think it's only 2 wins, actually it could be 3 wins, sorry, since the game against Northampton. Andy Crosby, manager, do you think there's pressure on him? Naturally, I guess that comes when teams aren't winning games, but Port Vale still, I think, 14th in the table as we stand. It's not been a bad season, really, for Vale.
Yeah, it's a real difficult one because we spoke on a podcast a couple of games ago. If you would have said Christmas Day, we're 14th in the league, 9 points off relegation, and just been in a quarterfinal of the League Cup, you're going to say that's a good 6 months. Now, looking at what's happened, the problem is we've become similar to what Shrewsbury did last season. They were a team where they'd go and win 6 on the bounce and then lose 6 on the bounce and look like a team that had never played together. And we've become that sort of team. So whilst you're in that positive run, it's all well and good. But since the sort of turn at Exeter, we haven't been able to put a run together. We haven't. We've looked a bit shaky. We've looked a bit confused about things, and then we've done certain things that we wouldn't have done earlier in the season. So it's all at the moment. It's all a bit feels like a man under pressure, but league position, like you say, probably doesn't deserve it. But When you watch it yourself, you know what football's like. Just because you're getting results doesn't mean fans are always that happy. And we need to put a run where we don't lose in the next 6 sort of thing for take that pressure away from him, in my opinion. But who knows?
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. Well, I guess looking at players from Vale this season, I guess one standout, obviously, you said obviously about Arblaster, who obviously has returned to his parent club. But one player that's really kind of stepped up this year for you guys is Ethan Chislett. I think the second top scorer for you guys this season. 6 goals, 7 assists, most big chances created for Vale. He's really, I guess, thrived this year for you guys.
Yeah, Chislett's gone really under the radar because Arblaster came in as an 18-year-old unknown and then just burst onto the scene, and everyone was like, wow. Ben Garrity's scored. I think Ben Garrity's got 10 goals this season, and unfortunately he's injured. But yeah, Ben's got 10 goals. So Chizzy's just gone about his business and just got involved. He's a quality player, but he's the sort of player that will go missing for 20 minutes during a game and you'll forget he's on the pitch and then he'll pop up and do something. But the one thing you can say is he's a real hard worker. So you get that sort of, you get both sides from Chislett. You get the pretty football, but he will put a shift in for the team. So yeah, he's a very good player and he's made the step up from League Two quite easy.
Would there be any other players you'd probably look to flag? Like, say, I guess, did you say Geraghty is injured for this weekend?
Yeah, Geraghty's injured. Yeah. Geraghty's out for 3 months, I think.
3 months. Oh,
blimey. Yeah, it's a bad one.
Not good. I'm guessing that means that Wilson probably slips in from the start up front.
Yeah, well, we've been playing well. We've been with Arblaster going back and Ojo being injured. Geraghty and Devine have been playing deeper in centre mid with Wilson and Ekpeyizu up front and Chislett in the hole. Mm-hmm. So I'd expect a similar sort of thing. Willow and Uch being up front. If you're asking for a player to watch, Uch is probably the best one for you guys to watch because he's unpredictable. He's 6'4" and 18 stone and he'll either run with the defender on his back or he'll fall over because the wind's taking him the wrong way. So he's very unpredictable. Opposition fans seem to really like him because he's a big focal point. He's a bit of a brute and he's a bit of a old fashioned like throwback, but he don't win many headers. He's just powerful. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. But other than that, it's really difficult to know what team will turn up due to the injury side and who makes it back to fitness and such like in the next couple of days.
Ekpeyizu, did he used to play for Wickham?
He did, yeah.
He did. I thought he did. I recognised the name from somewhere. And yes, yeah, I do remember him now.
He was at Middlesbrough as well in the Championship. I think they paid £1 million for him at one stage and I really don't know how, but
yeah. Is he with you guys permanently, I'm guessing?
Yeah, we signed him late on this season. So, yeah, he's technically should be match fit now. But, yeah, that's another story.
Yeah. Well, we've dived into the injury crisis at Vale, I think, enough. Now we don't want to add to that, I don't think. Looking ahead to the weekend, then, predictions. Do you think Vale can sneak a win? What are you going to the SEL hoping for?
So, as with any game, a point on the road's a good point, isn't it? So, you guys have picked up quite well recently. So, yeah, a point would be a good point. We'd take that. We're at the stage now where we need to build. We need to continue the performance that we took against Charlton. So yeah, we just need to carry on that trajectory or else the pressure on Crosby is just going to keep mounting and mounting. So yeah, I take a point now, but I'm always a bit pessimistic with Vale at the moment because, again, don't want to harp on, but the injury crisis, pulling out best players and stuff like that, it's just difficult to see what's actually going to happen.
Yeah, no, that's understandable. One thing's for sure, as we've kind of said, you don't want to be leaving this game early because Vale games have a lot of late excitement in, whether it's for Vale or kind of against for Reading or against in this instance, you don't want to be leaving early. So hopefully it's a good game. Johnny, thank you so much, obviously, for joining us again. Best of luck, obviously, for the rest of the season. Hopefully we see you in League One next year if we're still in League One, obviously. We can have a nice catch up then. But thank you for joining us again this time.
Sounds good, Matt. Thank you very much.
And thank you, everyone, for listening as usual. Remember to give us a 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. If you have enjoyed this episode, obviously helps us massively with new listeners finding us and podcast rankings, etc. and all that jazz. It really doesn't go unnoticed. Remember to like, follow all of our socials as well to keep up to date with the latest Elm Park Royals and Reading FC gossip. And we will be back reviewing the Port Vale game on Sunday. So until then, I've been Matt Lansley. This has been the Elm Park Royals Preview Podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.